I want to thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us this morning and for all of His dealings. My testimony that the Lord has been very good to me in my life. He's had much mercy and compassion on me. There have been times that I've fallen down, so to speak, spiritually and skinned my knees, but I found that the Lord has been faithful to help me to get back up and to continue in His way. And that's what my heart is encouraged in doing that this morning. I'm very much encouraged in the Lord and in His help to us. I've been reading quite a bit in the book of Proverbs, and I want to continue along that line a little bit this morning. I'd like to start off in the first chapter of Proverbs, in the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I think about how important for us it is that we would allow wisdom to direct our hearts and our lives. Somebody years ago, I heard, brought out an illustration that many times people, they go through life like putting a blindfold on and running through the forest. And they ran into trees and they and they get up and they keep running, but they've got this blindfold on their eyes and they keep hitting things in life. And they keep failing time after time after time, and many people go through life that way. But the way of wisdom is that we would take the blindfolders off and that we could see and perceive the dangers, that we could perceive the temptations that the enemy presents to us, that we could perceive places that are bigger than us, that we would recognize it'd be better to go around the tree instead of trying to run through the tree. And he mentions here that wisdom, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know, if we have the blindfolders on in life, if we're just going our own direction, if we just follow our own passion, and I don't have a place of real humility and submission in my life to what God wants, then I'm gonna be hitting those trees all through life. My life is gonna come out. I'm gonna be a failure in life. My marriage will be a failure. My family will be a failure. Just different things in life will end up being a failure if I don't allow the words of wisdom. If we don't have a higher spiritual law working in us, we're no better than the animals. We're no better than the animals. And the scripture sometimes describes people as animals because they're just following the natural instinct. But God has created us humans. There's a spiritual element about us. There's something higher, a higher level. We're not just flesh and blood. We have a mind. We have a spirit within us that gives us greater capabilities than the animal world. And the Lord wants us, and we need wisdom so much to help us in life, to help us to know how to navigate through life, that our families can be blessed and people around us can be blessed. We're very needy. In verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And we talked about how wisdom is not just through the intellect. It doesn't come just through hearing. It doesn't come just through the mind. But it has to involve the heart. Our heart has to be involved with wisdom as we give our heart and life to God and to the Lord, and we submit our hearts unto Him and bring ourselves to Him. Then we can begin to know wisdom and have wisdom in our hearts and our lives. Now I want us to notice verse 7 this morning. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. And I don't believe this is just a fear, a wrong kind of fear, but it's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of respect. It's a fear of honor. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there's another verse, a few chapters later, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I can look back in my own life and I recognize when the Lord began to deal with me and talk to my heart and help me to recognize that I was on the wrong road and on the wrong path. It was like a light switch turned on in my heart, my life. It was like somebody turned the lights on. And I thought to myself, why couldn't I see this before? Why couldn't I get a hold of this before? Because it says here, the fear of the Lord. When I began to fear the Lord and I began to respect Him and I began to acknowledge Him as Creator and Lord of my life and I repented and turned from my ways, then light and understanding, and I began to be able to see things that I had never seen as a young man before. I began to perceive things that I never had recognized or seen before. Before, I was following my own way. I was doing my own thing. And I was digging a hole. I was going the wrong direction. I was soon to face great trouble and difficulty if I would have kept going the way I was going. But the Lord reached down to me like He does every man. The Lord is faithful to deal and talk to every man. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. I want to also remember the time when the children of Israel were going out of Egypt. The Lord had delivered them. And He talked to Joshua. And I wanted to get that scripture this morning. Joshua, the second chapter. And the 7th verse, I'm sorry, Joshua 1 and 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Listen to what he says in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now he told them, he said, don't turn from it to the left hand or to the right, but meditate upon it. Now I recognize this morning, and I believe we understand that we're not completely under the law of Moses. We don't observe the ceremonial part of the law of Moses because Christ came and fulfilled all that that was pointing to and representing. There's a higher law, the law of the gospel of Christ, but I believe this scripture still applies. that if we'll follow the Scriptures, that if we'll yield our life to the Scriptures and give our lives to the Scriptures, then we can have a successful Christian life. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, when we come down to the end of life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If we follow the Scriptures and we allow the Scriptures to guide our hearts and to govern our affections and to govern our mind and what we think about. And it's very vital for us. This morning he mentioned here, said to meditate in this law day and night. You know, if we want wisdom this morning, we need to engage in the Scriptures and ask the Lord to open the Scriptures up to our hearts and to our lives and to give us understanding of what the Scriptures are teaching us, to keep it in our minds, because we as humans have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency sometimes to want to take our own route, but the Scriptures will be a reminder to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. I'm thinking about also how we approach difficulties and problems that we face in life. You know, the approach many times is very vital to how the outcome is going to be. The approach to our problem. I want to get back now on Proverbs. This word in Proverbs, the first chapter, he says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. This word subtlety means perceptive. Having or marked by keen insight, an ability to penetrate deeply, acuteness of mind. In other words, it's perceptiveness. It's being able to look beyond perhaps just what we see with our eyes and be able to see it how God sees it. You know, the Lord can help us to do that. There's a scripture, a verse that said, every man's way is right in his own eyes. You know, the way I perceive, the way I can look at things and say, well, this is it. This is right. That's not enough for us in life. I can spend my whole life and think, well, this is right. I need to follow this and it not be right. I need wisdom to help me. I need God to help me. I need His blessing on my heart and my life to help me to make good choices in life. And He'll do that. But this word subtlety, and that's what the Scriptures give, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to work in our hearts and our lives. This word discreet here that it uses means to separate, to distinguish between, discern. Having or showing discernment or good judgment in conduct and especially speech, prudent. Being able to separate, being able to recognize what's there. And I remember Jesus in the Gospels in one place, a scribe answered Jesus. He asked him a question and then he spoke again afterwards. But Jesus looked up on him and it said he recognized that he answered him discreetly. Meaning that his answer was sound. It was good. It had the marks of discretion. He was able to recognize the conversation, what was taking place. And we need that much in our lives. We need wisdom. We need discretion. There's a scripture that talked about a fool uttereth all of his mind. It's foolish just to utter everything that we feel and everything that we see and everything that we think anytime when we want to. That will cause us lots of trouble in life if we do that. We need wisdom to recognize and discretion to recognize when is an appropriate time to say something. Does it fit? Are they able to receive it? Are they able to get a hold of it? There's another verse in the Proverbs that I've read this last week. It says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good." And I've been challenged by that. How we handle a matter. It said if we handle it wisely, we'll find good. And I think about how important it is for us to seek the Lord to help us to handle those matters wisely. Another scripture in Proverbs, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. Proverbs 2 and 10. He says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." If we have wisdom and it enters into our heart, it said discretion. In other words, then I'll begin to be able to distinguish between what's good and what's not. You know, we live in a world that is not just good. We recognize that, don't we? We live in a world where there is good and evil, both present. We can't just put a blanket over everything and say, well, it's all good, and fail to see evil, and we don't want to just call everything evil also when there's good. But we've got to be able to recognize there's evil in the world. There's sin. God never designed it to be that way in the very beginning. He made man upright, but he gave also man a choice. And still today, he gives you and I a choice in life. He doesn't force us to live and follow the laws of wisdom. This wisdom thought is so beautiful. You read later on the Proverbs that talked about before the earth was. He talks about before he established the heights of the earth and the depths of the sea, wisdom was there. The laws of wisdom God used in the establishment of creation. And when we fail to allow the laws of wisdom to work in our hearts and our lives, that's just a formula for failure. Because the Lord used wisdom. It was with Him when He fashioned the earth. And wisdom is very much for us. And you know, the encouraging thing about this whole thing is that you and I can get wisdom and understanding if we'll seek after it. There is promises there for us for wisdom. Another place He said here, let me see if I can find it real quick. It was Proverbs the 9th chapter and the 4th verse. It says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him," this is wisdom speaking, "Come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." There is an invitation for us. Another place there in the book of James, he said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him." So there's a promise when we lack and we feel that we have a need. You know, that's good for us this morning. It's good for us to recognize I can't do it within myself. There's a song, the songwriter said, "Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I would go astray." Just like that person trying to run through the forest with his eyes blindfolded. Sometimes people in life, we try to go through life the same way, with our eyes blindfolded. But if we seek God and we ask Him, "Lord, I don't have it within myself. You see, there's a situation in front of me. I need Your thoughts. I need Your wisdom and Your understanding." You know, the Lord can impart to us. He can open up our understanding and help us to be able to see and recognize. The way that we handle problems can get worse than what they really are by mishandling our problems. Our approach to problems is so important. I thought about, you remember Esau when he was, Jacob, when he was coming back to meet his brother Esau? He was facing something, wasn't he? And he knew he was. He had wronged his brother deceitfully. Tricked him. You remember he put the goat skins on his arms and he made a venison? And he was persuaded by his mother to do that? But it was deceit. He shouldn't have, it was wrong for him to do that. And his brother said, I'm going to kill him. He was mad. He was enraged. Well, here now, Jacob's coming back years later to meet his brother. Does he just come up to him and say, well, it was all mine anyway. It was all God intended for me to have it all anyway. I just took what was rightfully mine. No, he didn't approach Esau that way. But what did he do? He stayed on the other side of the brook and he tarried all night in prayer because he knew he needed help. He knew he needed God's blessing. He knew he needed God's favor. His life was on the line in this in this stake. But you know, we need God's favor and his blessing. You know, us as people, we can make some pretty big messes. I've made some messes. Made some failures and mistakes through a lack of wisdom and understanding. But how we approach, and then Jacob, he wrestled with the Lord, meaning to me, he prayed. He held on to God. He sought God earnestly in prayer. That is the first step in you and I being able to obtain help and wisdom and what the Lord wants for us. And then what did he do? He sent all these gifts ahead. And I thought that was a wise thing for him to do. He sent gifts that showed appreciation, that showed respect, that showed honor. You know, if we don't approach people with those, with that, with respect, with honor, with appreciation, they usually won't really receive what we have to say or what we stand for. We've got to respect people, even though they don't see it like us. Or see it like me. It's very vital for us to show respect and honor to those, our family, to those that we work with, those that we deal with, to love them and to honor them and to respect them. You know, you can take a bone. Dogs love bones, don't they? Any kind of bone. But you can take that bone and you can throw it at a dog. He'll run. It'll hurt him. You know, the truth sometimes hurts. You say, well, yeah, but it's the truth. But we got to be careful how we present the truth. Because the truth can hurt. It can injure. I can take that same bone and I can go to this dog and I can kneel down in front of the dog, my hand outstretched, and he'll come and he'll start sniffing. He'll get a little closer and he'll be able to receive what I'm offering him. Same bone. Has the same smell, same scent. You know how we present our thoughts and our ways is just like that many times. If we're not careful, the carnal man the carnal nature. We'll want to just put people in their place. We'll want to just say what comes to our mind. That's not wisdom. And they'll back off. They'll just like the dog, they'll back off. But the laws of wisdom. Let me read some more scriptures here. I thought also about Esther and how she approached the king. She didn't go in there just with accusations to Mordecai. But she approached the king with honor and reverence and respect. And the king, what? He held out the golden scepter to her. She fasted also. She sought the Lord too before she went in, didn't she? Oh, how important it is for us today to seek God and to call upon Him for His help, to give us wisdom. But the way that we approach things many times is going to be a factor on the outcome and how it turns out. That's the way it is in life. Lord, help us to be careful of that word discretion means showing discernment or good judgment in conduct and especially in speech, being prudent. Lord, help us to recognize. I wanted to get the other scripture in James. James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter and the 13th verse. He said, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." You know, if we're feeling some real anger, if we're feeling some real hatred, and we're feeling an uprising in our hearts, that's not a time to speak. That's a time to keep silence. And that's a time for us to definitely go drop on our knees in prayer and ask God to help us with our feelings. We are human. We have feelings. We have emotions. People say things that affect us very deeply. We get offended sometimes. We get hurt. And there's a temptation. There's always a temptation to lash back and pull down. When we feel hurt, when we feel wounded, that's a time for us to keep silent and to go to our closet of prayer and kneel and bring our petition before God and tell Him, "Lord, these feelings in my heart and my spirit are not right. Would you give me love? Would you replace these feelings and this emotion?" I know you've been there. Struggling with that anger. Struggling with bitterness. They did me wrong. They treated me wrong. They hurt me. You know, Jesus was, when He was there before the court, before Pilate, they were wrongly accusing Him. That was wrong what they were doing to Him. That wasn't a fair trial. And He could have lashed out and called them names and said, "This is..." But it said He kept quiet. He kept still. And in the midst of all their accusations, said Pilate marveled. because Jesus wasn't defending himself. You know, when we got that struggle going on, it's a good time for you and I to go and find an altar of prayer and ask the Lord. You know, the devil would like for us to just focus on how wrong they are and cause us to try to want to put them in their place and say things that we shouldn't say. That's the enemy working. But we need to find a place of prayer and ask the Lord to help us at those times. Lord, help me. There's another scripture that says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, it's amazing how much can get going in families. I've heard of family members not talking to each other for years and years and years. That's pretty sad. That's a pretty sad state of affairs. Because there is forgiveness. In the laws of wisdom and understanding and what God has provided for us today, they may not ever come and ask me forgiveness, but I can still forgive. And I can still be to them and act towards them in a way that is wise and understanding. You know, when people have transgressed us deep down inside, they usually recognize and they usually know it. And I believe the Lord can work with those situations better if we'll not go our own way and retaliate in our own strength and make things worse. The laws of wisdom. Now listen to the characteristic. He said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness. What is meekness? It's humility. It's lowliness of mind. It's considering others better than yourself. It's putting them up. Jesus was able to do that, wasn't he? He looked beyond people's faults. He looked beyond their sin. And he recognized that they had needs. You know, the Lord calls you and I to look that same way. It's not that we just justify and say that evil is good. But I'm looking beyond the exterior. I'm looking beyond the sin. I'm looking beyond the anger. And I recognize there's somebody that needs help. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. This is the attributes of wisdom. Pure. In other words, I don't have an ulterior motive. I'm not trying to manipulate their lives. I'm not trying to control them. I'm not trying to take advantage of them. That's wisdom. That's part of the nature of wisdom. If I'm trying to take advantage of somebody and then trying to get gain by their them somehow, he goes on, he says, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the fruit of wisdom. And this is the fruit when we follow the ways of wisdom. This is the fruit that will be that we can have in our hearts and our lives. Pureness, peaceable, gentle. You know, sometimes there have been people that have criticized people of God, and I want to say there's a mixed multitude. Not everybody that is saved is perhaps where they should be in their life or where they should be in their walk with God. We learn. The Scripture talks about growing in grace, and we've got to give people room. And we've got to give people benefit of the doubt. But there have been things that have happened, and sometimes the people of God have been accused of being hard. And that doesn't mean that there hasn't been mistakes made. But you know, I see these things in godly people, and I like to be around it. I like to be around somebody that's peaceful, don't you? I like to be able to sit with somebody that I don't feel that's trying to take advantage of me. Non-threatening. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. Lord, help us today to seek after wisdom. To be careful. Part of that being discreet was it used the word circumspectly. It means that I'm watching. That I'm observing. Oh, how needful is that for us today? To watch our words. To watch what's going on. To try to distinguish what's appropriate. What's right. What's just. What's pure. And to help us in those areas that we need. We need wisdom this morning. He said, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good." That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to find good. I want to handle situations cautiously and wisely. I want to be careful of my approach, how I approach people, how I approach situations. I want to be careful. I want to be walking circumspectly. And as we do that, you know, life becomes, I believe, more and more blessed for us and for those around us. Wisdom is beautiful. The laws of God are beautiful. He told another place in the Old Testament after in Joshua, or maybe I'm not sure if it was that book, but he said, "This is your wisdom in the sight of the nations." You know, this is our wisdom this morning, is the Scriptures, what God has given us. If we conduct our lives, I don't believe the Scriptures came from man. They came through man, but they were inspired by God. God is the author. And it shows us the best way that we can live our life. Let's be encouraged and challenged this morning to handle our matters wisely. To handle situations wisely. And we'll find good as we do that. Pray for me.